Well, tell me about yourself and what it was like when you were growing up in Tulsa, because I have a feeling a lot of your experiences are reflected in your books.
Well, Tulsa, I guess, in one, you know, a couple of ways is typical of any kind of middle-sized city. And if you went to a very large high school, there were a whole bunch of different groups, and all the kids belonged to different groups. And when I was growing up, I felt like I was the only person questioning this fact that you got stuck in your group and that was where you were. And you couldn't say hi to anybody else in any of the other little groups, and you had, you know, nervous breakdowns over who's going to say hi to you. And I just thought this was idiocy. So when I wrote The Outsiders, and I was in high school, I was just mad about the social situation. I took the two extreme groups to write about, the Socias and the Greasers, and the Socias were the real rich kids with the Mandarin shirts and wheat jeans, and they sit around the main hall, and they did such cool things like get drunk and beat each other up and steal things and have drag races. And then you had the Greasers who stood around the back parking lot, and they dressed in black leather jackets and blue jeans, and they were just scummy, hoodie, terrible people who did, you know, scummy, hoodie, terrible things like beat each other up and get drunk and steal things and have drag races. So I just thought, well, here are these two groups doing the same things in different parts of town. One's supposed to be real cool, one's supposed to be real, you know, white trash. And I was just mad about it. I just thought,
now, wait, which group were you part of?
Well, I grew up in a borderline greaser neighborhood, and I had a lot of greaser friends, but I got put in social classes because they do that thing, you know, where you get, you know, in grade school, you can figure out if you're in with the smart group or in with the dummy group. And I really think that's, I know it's easier for teachers, but sometimes it reinforces kids' opinions of themselves, of whether they're a dummy or not. And I think you can change as you get older. But
now, you're pronouncing that soch?
Yeah. It's an abbreviation for socials. I even watched the evolution of the word. When I was in junior high, they were the socials. And by the time I got to high school, it was abbreviated to soch. And I get letters all the time from these kids that say, oh, we had the same thing in our school, but we call them jocks and nerds, or we call them druggies and preppies and this kind of thing. So the concept, I think that's one reason why The Outsiders has stayed popular, is the concept of the groups hasn't changed. The names and the uniforms have changed.
But it's pretty clear that your sympathies are with the Greasers.
Right. Yes, they were. And probably to this day still are.
Well, this is a remarkable story. Now, this happened, I guess The Outsiders was published, what, 68? 69?
67. I wrote it in 65 to 66. I sold it in 66. I got my contracts on graduation day. So I spent my junior year in high school writing it, which is the year I flunked creative writing.
Well, that's a remarkable achievement for a high school girl. It's mostly because most high school people don't even read, much less write.
Well, I read all the time, and I knew from grade school that I wanted to be a writer, and I wrote all the time. So the time I wrote The Outsiders, it was actually a third book I'd written. It's the first time I ever tried to get one published. So it wasn't like I just sat down and knocked it off. I'd actually been training myself by reading, which I think if you want to be a writer is the only way to do it. And it was something I enjoyed doing. It wasn't anything I wrote The Outsiders for myself. I didn't think about getting it published. It turned out that I got the name of an agent from a friend of mine's mother and got it to the agent who sold it to the second publisher she showed it to. But that was not what was in my mind. What was in my mind was, you know, taking out this anger that I had. Besides the fact I wanted to write something that dealt realistically with kids. At that time, there was nothing going on. If you were ready for adult books and you were, you know, sick of the horse books, there was nothing left to read except Mary Jane Goes to the Prom. I couldn't stand those kind of books.
Did you have a mentor, a teacher in school that had helped you?
Or no, I really didn't. I had, you know, a mix of good teachers and bad teachers, but it was just such a personal thing for me that I wanted to be a writer.
Well, how did it happen coming from a greaser family? I would assume if that's accurate.
Well, it's, I don't want to say an accurate, just, you know, like to say greaser family. I came from, like, let's say lower middle class, you know, working class family. I don't know.
But it wasn't a literary family.
No, not really.
But what?
I just, well, it started off that I liked to read. And I don't know what makes one kid like to read and another kid not like to read. My earliest memory of wanting to learn how to read was listening to a record of Jack and the Beanstalks. And as soon as I could learn how to read, I mean, I went to the public library all the time. I distinctly remember checking out Peanuts the Pony when I was little. I was a horse nut. And I just read all the time. And from that came, I want to do stories and make them happen the way I want them to. And I really, really began writing in grade school. I taught myself to type in the sixth grade. I realized at that point, if I couldn't read my handwriting, nobody could read my handwriting. And typing, you know, made it look so professional. It was just really neat the way it looked typed. So I really enjoyed typing. The time I took typing in the ninth grade, I was typing 120 words a minute, so that was an easy A.
What kind of celebrity did you develop after The Outsiders appeared?
Well, locally, I mean, it was, let's say I got some attention. People have a funny idea of what a little bit famous does for you. You know, you do a local news or two. And I went to New York when I was 18. It was my first trip out of the state, and it was really great, and did some publicity. But after that was over, you know, you didn't go out of your way and work it into a conversation or anything. A little bit famous in the Writers Guild doesn't come in and empty your dishwasher in the morning. It's, it doesn't do much for you, really.
Your books appear to be a very direct portrayal of what really happens to young people today. What sort of reaction was there to these books, especially The Outsiders, when it first appeared? Was it a sense of shock?
Well, it was. As funny as it seems nowadays, or maybe even it doesn't seem too funny nowadays with censorship and what, but there were a lot of people shocked by The Outsiders, especially in Tulsa, Oklahoma. They're going, well, that couldn't happen here. We've got trees. But it was like everybody was so used to Mary Jane goes to the prom, and will she get the big date or won't she? And she end up with the quiet boy next door and have a good time anyway. Well, let's answer that question. Yes, of course. So this, a realistic depiction of teenage life, did seem shocking to some people, but it was the right time. You know, it was the mid-60s, and they were ready for this. And I do think it helped open the market for more realistic teenage fiction, and I am really glad of that because the field needed it. And now there's, you know, a lot of good writers writing in the young adult field, and I think that's great.
You haven't been lumped. Excuse me. You haven't been lumped with Judy Blume, have you, on the censorship list?
Every once in a while, yeah, I make a censorship list, which is funny because I had one teacher tell me this. She said, I had a parent come up here waving this book, and I write about it, and I said, have you read it? And she said, no. And she said, go home and read it. If you have any problems about it again, come back and, you know, I'll quit teaching it. And she said, you know, a parent said, this is a great book when she got through reading it. So I do think, I really don't understand, especially The Outsiders, why anybody would want to censor it. I mean, some people say, well, it's violent. I've had so many kids write me and say, I realize from reading this book how stupid violence is. I've never had a kid write me and say, I got all hopped up and went out and beat up somebody after reading your book. So, you know, I know that it's, at least from my mail, that it's done some people a lot of good.
No, it's the kids who don't read the book who are likely to go out and commit the violence. Well, what happens to these kids here? They play pool, they drink, they get into all sorts of trouble. What happens to these kids when they at last grow up?
Well, it depends, like everything else in real life, on the kid, the person themselves. Like, I do feel like, you know, that Pony Boy is going to be okay, actually. And his friend Two-Bit Matthews will probably be a fat old drunk in a bar. But Pony Boy will be fine, and his brother will be fine. And Tex McCormick, and Tex was a good character for me, I'm really proud of, in that always in real life, there are people who go places and people who stay, and one is not necessarily better than the other. And Tex is a person who stayed, which does not make him a less valuable human being. And the fact that he was a person who considered other people before himself made him almost more valuable than somebody like his brother, who was very smart and ambitious. So, it's, you know, I like to think my character is a reflection of real life.
Did you have any role in the motion picture versions of your books?
Oh, I did everything in them except star in them.
Did you do the screenplays?
I did the screen. I've got official credit for Rumblefish, and I helped out a little bit on text. I was just more of a consultant. I was a writing teacher, a consultant, and I played the typing teacher on the movie text. And The Outsiders, I did everything I was really doing a lot on that. I was just lucky I didn't have this right when I sold the movies, but both times, both Tim Hunter and Francis asked me to help, and I was glad to help, and it was a real experience. It was a lot. Tex was just a wonderful, wonderful time. The Outsiders was great. It was physically harder. The hours were longer, and the physical conditions were rougher, but those boys are great, great kids to work with, and Rumblefish was an interesting experience. I can't say it was real pleasant, but it's like childbirth. You're glad you did it once.
What do you mean, interesting?
Well, I'd heard all these things about how, you know, sometimes sets are tension-filled and sets are kind of crazy, and I think it was the fact, for one thing, we were shooting 16-hour days. We were all beat up and tired from Outsiders, and we went straight into Rumblefish from it and using the same crew, a lot of the same cast, and we were doing night shoots, which makes you feel like a vampire after a while, and you're shooting in crummy parts of town. People think, well, you know, shooting a movie is a job, and you go to the set, and you do it, and you come home, but Rumblefish especially was all this working at night in dreary parts of the city, and you're watching somebody plan his own self-destruction, and after a while, just psychologically, you just felt it all over the set.
Were the movies filmed in Tulsa?
Three of them were. The Outsiders, Tex, and Rumblefish were. And that's the ones I had the greatest input on. When Emilio was doing that was then, I was pregnant with my first child, and I said, you know, you got to go ahead on this kid. You're going to have to do it by yourself because I'm staying home with my baby.
Well, after you graduated from high school with this book under your belt, so to speak, you went on to college, and you studied what?
Oh, I went on to college because I couldn't have anything else to do, and since I published The Outsiders, I had the money for it. I majored in education, mainly because I didn't want to take a foreign language, which I would have had to in liberal arts. But, I just wanted to be a writer, and I think college did expose me to a lot of writers I wouldn't have read on my own, and in that way it was very helpful. I met my husband there, which was very helpful. After college, what did I do? I wrote That Was Then while I was in college. But I had a really bad writer's block from The Outsiders. I mean, writers will tell you about first novel block, and I had a really bad case of it. I was just paralyzed at the typewriter. I couldn't even write letters, which is strange because I was really prolific up until then. But it was like all of a sudden you were aware of the audience. And that's something just as a writer, if you want to be published, you've got to be set to deal with. But it took me a while to deal with it. I thought people were just watching me waiting for a masterpiece. And I knew then, as I know now, I don't have a masterpiece in me. And I finally learned to say, you know, sorry guys, this is, the masterpiece isn't here, but here's what I've done, and that's the best I could do at this moment.
Is that a problem, always being expected to top yourself, or do you have...
Well, in a way, people, you know, I'm lucky in that The Outsiders, I think, will probably be all the book I'm best known for. So I've got that out of the way. I don't have to worry. I could never write The Outsiders again. I'll never be 16 again. As an adult writer, I can't read the book. I see so many things wrong with it. It makes me sick. But it's very false, or almost its virtues, because the emotionalism, the sincerity, or what the kids immediately identify with, and I don't think I could do that again. So you're just hoping that your technical expertise will kind of make up for that.
Yeah, it's amazing what you learn with age, isn't it? I was talking to Sloan Wilson a while ago. He wrote The Man in the Gray Flannel Suit. Some people think that was the only book he wrote, but he did write A Summer Place and a couple of other novels, but nothing he wrote after The Man in the Gray Flannel Suit was well received by the critics, although he made money. And I asked him, how do you feel about being a person who's written 20 books, and yet the only book that people remember is The Man in the Gray flannel suit. And he said, I feel very good about that. He said, if when I die, he said, I would like to be known as the man who wrote The Man in the Gray Flannel Suit. So while you might have this feeling that The Outsiders was an immature work, because after all you were 16, I think that you're probably always going to feel good knowing that this is something you did and something...
I did at the right time.
Yeah.
When people say, "Is you know, how's it feel?" Just, you know, my other books have been well received critically, and they're well read. But I mean, The Outsiders is just, a lot of people love it. I mean, just really do have a lot of affection for it. So I feel like, you know, if I've done that, that's great. I mean, that's fine with me.
You've also had some astronomical sales figures with that book, haven't you?
Yeah, it sells real well. Bless its heart, after 20 years, it's still selling.
Is it also in hardcover as well?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Viking still puts it out in hardcover, and the libraries buy it every year. The librarians write me and say, this book is ripped off more than any book in our library. So I think, oh, darn those kids.
Are you, have you or are you planning to write any adult fiction?
I might. I've just got through with the first draft of my last book, and it is a teenage novel again, but I've had more fun with the adults in this book than I've had before, and the adults are more of a major character, so I'm asking myself, well, you know, am I going to head this way or not? I always said that if I find any adults who are as interesting as teenagers, I know I'll write an adult book, and that may happen.
Well, Judy Blume is doing it now. I don't think she's given up her young adult books, but she has written two adult novels, which were well-received, so it's not something that you couldn't do.
Right. No, I don't think it's something I couldn't do. It's just been a matter to me of whether I want to or not.
Are you teaching?
No. No, I did student teaching, and it taught me I can't teach. I'm not tough enough to teach. And I really think it takes a special person with, some of my best friends are teachers, and I really admire them, but I thought I can teach for a year and help a few kids and end up in the nut bin, or I can write and help kids the way I can help them and remain sane, so that's what I'm doing.
What's life like for you in Tulsa?
Well, it's very quiet. People think I live some real glamorous life, and I spend half my day wandering around Safeway trying to figure out something to cook for dinner. I've got a little boy and a husband and dishes to do, and I'll think of many things to do besides go ride, but I've been trying to get back into that.
What does your husband do?
He sells earth shoes through the mail. If you look in the Rolling Stone magazine, their classified ad, he is the earth shoe ad. He bought it through Main River Shoes when they went out of business, which were quite a few, and put them in a warehouse in Tulsa, and he sells them through the mail, and people are still buying them because they're great walking shoes.
Hmm. Are you a celebrity in Tulsa? People say, are you invited to the afternoon talk shows when you talk about juvenile delinquency or something like that?
I try not to do local publicity. I do as little as possible and still try to be a good citizen. You know, if there's something I really feel like I was legitimately helping the community, I'd go do it. But what I do best, which is write, is something you do in private, and I'm a real private person, and some people... I'm one of them who doesn't handle people walking up and going, oh, is he it? And wow, can I have Matt Dillon's phone number? I mean, you know, I just, it's not something, I don't enjoy being recognized, so I try to keep that to a minimum.
Why have you persisted in keeping this neutral
name? My neutral name? Well, that was my publisher's idea originally on The Outsiders. They thought, at that time, especially, that a reviewer would pick up this book about boy delinquents and see a girl's name on it and just review it with the idea a girl would not know anything about this. And their original intention was to fool the first reviewers, and they did. All my early reviews is just saying, man has written this book. And after that, it wasn't kept a big secret. I did publicity and, you know, that kind of thing. So... it still amazes me. I'll still get letters addressed to Mr. Hinton, so I know I'm doing a good job at what I do because I write from a boy's point of view, and most of my mail is from boys, and a lot of them think I'm a boy, so I must be doing a pretty good job.
I'd say you're doing something right.
Thank you.
S.C. Hinton, thank you very much for spending this few minutes to chat with me about your life and your work, and I know that your readers will continue to grow.
Thanks.